Last week, we discussed that in order to walk with God, a person must first humble himself to the fact that God cannot lie. You got to get that straight. A person must agree with God to walk humbly with God. Anybody have any problem with that? I mean, get a picture. Two people trying to walk together. Let's take, who'd I pick on last week? Sean. Yeah. You know, if Sean and I are trying to walk together and do something for the, you know, anything, any project together, and every time I say something, he turns to me and says, well, that's a lie, that's not true. And then every time he says something, I turn to him and I say, well, that's a lie, that's not true. And then I say, well, we need to go left here. And he says, no, we need to go right. You know, well, we need to stop. No, we need to go, you know, we need to keep walking. I mean, that project is not going to work, is it? We can't walk together that way, see? Right. So step number one, if a person, and really, I quoted Micah last week. I think you've got it on here. Oh, Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? And then I quoted Micah 6:8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? That's powerful. I love that. But really, in the Hebrew, it doesn't say that. In the Hebrew, it says, and to walk humbly with Elohim. I just like that. You know, how many want to walk with Elohim? Glory to God. Elohim is the triune Godhead. God the Father, triune, triple, three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I mean, our mortal, finite minds are never going to totally understand that. But an infinite God is trying to reveal himself to finite people. And so he's chosen to reveal himself. It's only one God. We don't have three gods. This is not a pagan thing. You know, we don't have Jupiter and Zeus and Thor. You know? It's one God. But he has chosen somehow to manifest himself to us in three ways. But when you're talking about God, G-A-W-D, you know, God. God. You're talking about all three in one. And that's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And in the Bible, when that's referred to, is called Elohim. And the first time you find that in the Hebrew Bible is in Genesis, when God said, let us make man in our image. That us, their plural, is Elohim. Hallelujah. That's free. There's no extra charge for that. But anyway, man, I just like that. Anna, would you like to walk with Elohim? Glory to God. Just think about every day. Get up in the morning and say, Elohim, let's walk together today. Now, what a life. Enoch did that, the seventh person from Adam. Enoch did that to the point. Now, he was only the seventh generation from Adam. But yet, he drew faith all the way from the rapture to his day. It says, Enoch pleased God, and Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was not, for God took him. And the man bypassed death, went straight to heaven. Don't pass go. Do not collect $200. I mean, he just bypassed death. God says, I can't stand it anymore. I've got to have Enoch with me. Come home. And Enoch walked right into heaven. I mean, his faith drew the time of the rapture to his day. Did y'all know Paul talks in the New Testament, in Hebrews it talks about it is possible to walk in the powers now of the age to come. Another night. Another night. Previews of coming attractions. Hallelujah. Walking with God. Hallelujah. Now, tonight is really step two. And when you get your tape, the title on the tape is Worship in Spirit in Truth. And I hope for, you know, these tapes go all over the country. I hope you folks in Ohio and can understand that my Oklahoma accent says worship. I don't know if that's really the way you say it or not, but it's worship here. But anyway, Worship in Spirit and Truth, and actually there's a subtitle called Walking with God Part 2. Step 1, you've got to agree with God. You've just got to understand that God can't lie. Whatever He says is truth. Get it straight. If your life does not agree with His Word, you're messed up, not Him. Besides that, He isn't going to change. He says, I will not alter nor change the thing that has gone out of my mouth. You might as well get it straight. He's not going to change. You might as well. Okay? If you're going to walk with Him, He ain't changing, so guess what? We're all going to have to change. Okay, that was last week. Now, a person must agree with God to walk humbly with God. learning to agree with God and to put His Word first place in your life is an act of worship. Can y'all see that? See, the first thing you do when you first find out somebody preaches the gospel to you, maybe you didn't even believe in God. You know, maybe you didn't even believe in God. Somebody preaches the gospel, says, yes, there's a God. He loves you so much. He sent His Son, His only begotten Son, and He died to bear all of your sins. And just preaches the gospel. If you believe in Him, your sins are forgiven, and you can be reborn, go to heaven. See, the first thing a person has to do is say, okay, they have to humble themselves to believe that. To believe that, to even get born again. And from that moment on, the rest of your life, your progression into God is, whatever He says, you're God and I'm not. See, and it's an act of worship. You know, maybe somebody has never heard. I mean, in this country it's hard to imagine, but in other countries it's not. But say a person had just flat never heard that fornication is wrong. Maybe they just never heard that. And so they, you know, that's been their lifestyle. They get saved, they get filled with the Spirit, they start reading their Bible, and they start finding out God doesn't really look too kindly on that. You know? Well, it's an act of worship to say, I agree with you. I mean, I never heard of this before. I mean, you know, this is the way it was. So, you know, but I agree with you, and I'm going to change now. See, that's a humble thing. That's humbling yourself before your God. I'm going to walk with you. Hallelujah. Now, John 4:23. And John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 says, this is Jesus talking. He says, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers, how many of y'all want to be a true worshiper?
Me.
Hallelujah. Shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. Everyone say with me, God is a spirit.
God is a spirit.
And they that worship Him
must worship Him
in spirit.
And in truth.
Now, if I was to ask the question, okay, how many of y'all want to worship God in spirit and in truth? Probably every hand in here would go up. I mean, Daryl, you want to worship God in spirit and in truth? Jesus said that's the way to do it, right? The big question is, how? Okay? The question is, well, how does a person do that? How do you worship God in spirit and in truth? Now, we're going to discuss just two ways tonight. We're just going to talk about two ways that this can be done. I've told y'all before, anytime we talk about worship, the Bible does not give a precise formula for worship. Okay? There is no, it's not like the prayer of faith. I can take you to Mark 11:23 and 24, and there is a precise, Spirit-given formula on how to operate in faith. Okay? But we're never given that, you know, particular, that detailed a formula when it comes to worship. But this is about as close as the Bible comes. Jesus did say it will involve spirit and truth. Okay? All right. Let's talk about worshiping in spirit first. And here's a pretty long passage, but what the heck? This is called Bible study. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 14, and I'm just going to read on down from verses 14 through 19. Paul is talking here, and for I think most of you are familiar with this passage. Paul is trying to correct some problems that was going on in the Corinthian church. You got to understand, these people were fairly new, they were saved, they were filled with the Spirit, but Paul says they were carnal. In fact, I'll go ahead and share a vision with you that I had the other day when I was praying about this. I wound up in that church. I mean, suddenly I was just there, and I saw what was going on, and it kind of opened up the book of 1 Corinthians to me. In the first part of the book, Paul tells them, he says, you guys think you're spiritual hot rods, you're just babies. He says, some of you say I'm of Paul, some of them say I'm of Apollos. Some of you say I'm of Jesus. Some of you say I'm this and that, you know. And he said, some say you're of Peter, Cephas, you know. So we had factions in the group. So in this vision, I was just suddenly in the congregation. It was a pretty large church, what I saw. But the people were arranged in their cliques, C-L-I-Q-U-E-S, you know what I mean, their cliques. We had the Paul group over here. And over here we had the Peter group. And then over here we had the Jesus only people, you know, and they were kind of arranged like that. And what would happen as the service would start, somebody from the Paul group suddenly had a tongue, you know, so they stand up to give their tongue for the body, and that's scriptural to do. But see, jealousy and envy was going on in the church, and so now you had someone from Peter's group over here, who you know, a different group, and they start basically trying to out-tongue the first tongue while it's still going on. And then somebody from the first group starts going, well, we'll just interpret. Now you got interpreting. And while they're doing all that, suddenly somebody from the Jesus only bunch, they start giving thus saith the Lord. And I mean, I saw it. It was bedlam. It was pandemonium. It was basically a shouting down contest, all carnal, all based on competition, each one trying to prove themselves right. Does that sound very familiar? And I saw it just as plain as anything. And that's, see, before it always bothered me, because in this same chapter he says, will not the unlearned come in and think you're mad? You know? And so I'd always thought, well, you know, seeing the people, you know how we do at church sometimes, you know, the spirit of worship just comes into place and everybody's, you know, just praying in the spirit, and that's good, you know. That's not what was going on there. I'm telling you, this was competition. It was all flesh. It was all carnal. They're trying to shout each other down just big time. Well, somebody come in and you got people from that side of the church shouting and screaming tongues at these people, really. And they're, well, we're more spiritual than you. Listen to our tongues, you know. And they're shouting back at this side over here. And somebody over here is trying to prophesy louder than all of them. And can you just imagine the pastor? Well, you know. And that's what, so Paul is trying to correct this kind of thing. You know, he says, you guys are babies. You think you're spiritual hot rods. You don't even understand the mind of the Lord yet. Okay? I'm just giving you milk here. So that's the context of what we're looking at. Okay? But Paul, he gives some real good instruction in here. He says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. All right? Stop right there for a minute. Everybody in this room, as far as I know, is spirit-filled. And everyone knows that while you're praying, your spirit man is doing the praying. The Holy Spirit is given the language. And the Holy Spirit, through your spirit, is praying God's perfect will for your life. But your mind doesn't know at that moment what's being prayed. Everyone understands that, right? See, now, I have to explain that because these tapes go all over and they may not understand that. At that moment, your spirit man is in communication with God. Your mind is basically standing over on the in the corner kind of watching this. That's why it doesn't like it too well. It doesn't know what's being said. Now, eventually, your spirit, once it's been in contact with the Holy Spirit and gets taught, it starts revealing revelation knowledge to your mind. That's how Paul got the revelation knowledge that we know as the New Testament, the Bible, the portions that he wrote. Okay? Anyhow, that's how that works. Verse 15. Well, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Now, this was the verse right here that set me free from the doctrine of, well, you can only pray in other tongues when that feeling comes over you. You know, y'all ever heard that? You know, that the doctrine basically is, well, you cannot pray in other tongues anytime you want to. I mean, it's the Holy Ghost praying through you. What are you telling me, Brother Gary? What are you saying? You can command the Holy Ghost? You know, get the real self-righteous voice on, you know. The trouble is, they're serious. They're not mocking. They're serious. Well, let's just look at this. He says, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. So he's talking about both kinds of prayer. Praying in other tongues, that's praying in the Spirit. Praying with the understanding, that's praying according to your mind. Well, let me just ask you guys. Can you pray with your mind anytime you choose to? I think I'll pray. Father, in Jesus' name, and you go ahead and pray. Now notice he uses the very same wording for both actions. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. We could say it like this. I will pray in other tongues, and I will pray prayers that my mind understand at my will. See, what we don't understand is the Holy Spirit is always ready to pray. That's what he's here for. His assignment is as much time as we will give him. He is here for the express purpose of transforming us into the very image of Christ. One of the ways he has to do that is change the way we think now into the way that Jesus Christ thinks. Okay? And he's ready all the time. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. This is not a burden on him. And any time that you're willing to give him time, he is ready to pray through you. So it's just really up to you. You can pray in other tongues anytime you want to, just like... And besides that, notice it's your spirit actually praying. Did you see that? Look at verse 14 again. If I pray in an unknown tongue, who's praying? Did you get one? Oh, you got it. My spirit prayeth. See, it's really up to you. That's the Holy Ghost coming and offering the wisdom of God through your spirit, all right. But it's your spirit that initiates the prayer. It's you that decides. So, you got that straight? You can pray in other tongues anytime you want to. That's the verse that set me free on that. Verse 16. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? Don't y'all love the King James? Okay. Let's say it. Now, see, tonight, everyone in here is believers. Everyone knows about tongues. Everyone knows all about this. But what if we had somebody come in here that's never been born again? They don't know anything. And I'll say, I ask Brother Tony, you know, I'll say, Tony, would you mind just to, we'll just follow along. What you lead us in prayer, and we'll just pray in the Spirit along with you and agree. And so he's up here, and he said, Father, we just praise you and we worship you, Lord, for your blessing on the service tonight. And this person is sitting in the room with the unlearned. They go, never heard this before. You know. Now, Tony, from his spirit, is worshiping God. And he knows that. Now, he may not know exactly what he's saying, but he knows he's worshiping God. That guy over there that never heard of this stuff, he don't know what's going on. See? Amen? He don't know. He don't know what to say. You know? So, Paul's saying here, okay, that guy, he doesn't know what you're saying. Now, we know, see, verse 17, for thou verily givest thanks well. Okay? And we're being built up. You know, he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. We know that we're being built up. We know, because we know what's going on. But that fella, he doesn't know what's going on. It's not helping him, see. All right? Now, Paul says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, and if you underline anything, I'd underline right there, in the church, at Thursday night Bible study, okay, in the church, at Thursday night Bible study, same thing, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. But I notice, Paul says that praying in other tongues and singing in other tongues is one way of giving thanks well. That's a way of worship. In fact, I can hardly make it very long in English. When I start trying to worship God, I love you, Lord. I thank you so much I'm not going to hell. Oh, God, I know I deserve it. I thank you, Lord, that you washed away my sins. Father, thank you for... And it don't take very long, and I run out of English pretty quick, you know. And pretty soon it's, oh, Ramandista, Franco, you know. And I'm giving thanks well. See, I'm giving thanks well. That's one form of praying and worshiping in the Spirit. Just giving time to the Holy Spirit to worship God. But now watch this. Paul says up there in those verses that he does this more than them all. Hey, David. He prays in tongues. Sean's got the handout, sir. More than, and actually in the Greek, it says, I pray in tongues more than all of you put together. He says, I pray in tongues more than all of you put together. All right? But he also says that in church is not the main time to do it, but rather the teaching of the Word. I mean, if y'all came on Thursday night, and all I did was come in here for an hour and a half and talk in tongues with you, and I'll say, I'll see you again next Thursday night, I don't think it'd be very long. Y'all quit coming. You know? Now, prayer meetings, now there are meetings like that. They're called prayer meetings. Believers' meetings, where we get together, like all-day prayer on Saturday, and we're all there for one purpose. We're in one accord. We know what's going on. We're there for the express purpose of presenting ourselves to the Holy Spirit so that He can pass those mysteries through us, so our thinking can start becoming more like God's thinking, where He can use us to work revival in the earth. Hallelujah. That's one kind of meeting. But at church, or where the Word is to be delivered, that's not the time to be everybody talking in tongues, you know, except for maybe a little worship or something. If we spend the whole time doing that, what good is it? Okay? But now, here's the point. Paul, he did say, though, that Paul is saying, I pray in the Spirit more than all of you put together. If he wasn't doing it in the church, where was he doing all of that praying?
Myself.
In my private time of worship. He says, now, again, going back to the whole concept, see, these people were up in spiritual pride. We're just more spiritual than those Jesus-only folks over there. Actually, we just have it more together than those Peter, those people, those followers of Peter over there. And so they're basically shouting down each other when the service starts because they think they're such spiritual hot rods, you know. But yet Paul is, in a nice way, he is telling them, look, it's not what you do in church. It's not the amount of time in church, how you show off speaking in other tongues. That's not what determines it. Look, boys, I pray in tongues more than all of you put together when I'm alone with the Lord. It's what you do privately, away from the church, when you're by yourself, that's going to really determine your walk with God. Do you worship Him when other people aren't watching? Do you worship Him yourself? Do you give the Holy Spirit some time to offer up those thanks well to God? You see what Paul's saying? And he says, by doing that, by the way, that's why when I come in here to talk to you in English, or Greek, I guess, then, in the known language, when I come in here to the church to talk to you, I've got something to say. Because I got it from the Holy Ghost during that private time of prayer. You see what he's saying? He said, you guys are trying to show off about how much time you know, how well you can pray in tongues in the church, trying to show off here. He says, that's not where it's at. I pray in tongues more than all of you put together, and I'm not even praying here hardly at all. I get it in my private time. Tell me you're spiritual. How much private time are you praying in other tongues? You want to worship God in spirit and in truth? How about going off into your prayer closet and let the Spirit of truth spend some time offering up thanksgiving well unto God? Hallelujah. Come on in. Hallelujah. Pull up a hunk of floor. Hallelujah. Hey, we've got this cushion over here on the hearth. And we still got handouts? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Aren't y'all glad I didn't build a fire tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Daniel and Elizabeth, Coke, Dr. Pepper, Pepsi, or half and half coffee? What?
Water. What
water?
Do you want?
Did I mention that at all?
Hallelujah.
What do you want, Daniel?
Hallelujah. I minister the word, Sue ministers to the body. Glory to God. What a team, huh? Hallelujah. Lord told me one time, he says, to catch a lot of fish, you need good bait, Charles. So. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to catch fish, use good bait. Glory. All right. So y'all seeing what he's saying? When you're spending time praying in other tongues, you are in worship. Trust me. You are giving thanks well. You talk about worshiping in spirit and in truth. Okay, I think I said this. So one way to worship God in spirit is to spend times of praying in your known tongue and then praying in other tongues and then singing in your own tongue and singing in other tongues. Now, I guarantee you, if Gary Carpenter is going to spend time singing in my known tongue and singing in other tongues, it's going to be in my prayer closet. Now, I'm telling you right now, okay? Just because I have mercy on you, okay? Hallelujah. And primarily in your own private times of worship, see? Now, you got to remember, when you're doing that, the whole subject tonight, Jesus said, those that worship Him will worship in spirit and in truth. Now, just think, you're not only praying in the Spirit, but look, it is the very Spirit of truth who is helping you to pray and worship in other tongues. One way to worship God in spirit and in truth, huh?
Good.
Spend time. And the whole point Paul was making to the Corinthian bunch there, I'm not impressed with your shouting of tongues at each other in the church. I'm not impressed with that. He says, talk to me about how much time you spend praying in other tongues away from the church, because that's how I'm getting my revelation knowledge. I pray in tongues more than all of you, but not during a church service. I'm not doing this for show. I'm doing it from a true heart, a heart of that's seeking God in spirit and in truth. Y'all like that part? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here's another way to worship in truth. John 17:17, Jesus said, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Everyone say it after me. Say, thy word,
thy word
is
truth.
Truth. Then say this, and nothing else is
either.
The Father's word is truth. If you ever want to know the definition of truth, Jesus for all time settled it for us. Father, thy word is truth. Now, secondly, in John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, They are spirit. He says, my words are not just words. They are spirit, and they are life. Y'all remember last week we talked about you are actually, you know, born again as a newborn babe in your spirit when you got born again. We talked about, Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Y'all remember that? The word is food to your spirit. See what he says here? He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. Your spirit, man, literally feeds on the word of God. It literally feeds. It's like in the same way your body needs carrots and potatoes and and milk and of course, my body needs hamburgers, chocolate milkshakes. But anyway, in the same way that your body needs the nutrients that's in that food, and it's able to assimilate it and make your body strong, what he's saying here, Jesus is saying, listen, you don't understand yet. My words are food to your spirit, man. They are spirit. Your spirit will take my words. The Holy Ghost will go into operation digesting that word and literally feeding the understanding of it to your spirit, man, and you'll literally grow. He said it's actually spirit. It's spirit food. Hallelujah. When people say, well, I just can't seem to get into the word. They're just not very hungry. They're just not very hungry is all. Ow! Oh, okay. I was going to be nice, wasn't I? Can I answer that later? Hallelujah. The Word of God is the truth. Everyone say that after me. Say, the Word of God,
word of God.
Is the truth.
Is the truth.
The Word of God,
word of God.
Is spirit.
Is spirit.
Okay. Another way of worshiping God in spirit and in truth is to spend time worshiping God for His Word. Now, there may be more than one way of doing this. I'm not saying what I'm about to do for y'all is the only way to do it, okay? But the Lord told me this morning when I was praying, He instructed me to demonstrate for you the way I do it, so at least you'd know one way. I'm not saying this is the only way. Again, I told you, there is no definition of how to worship God. However, He might lead you differently than me. But at least you'll know one way. And it's been working for us for 2 years now. You know what I'm saying? So this way works. And your path may be a little different, but somehow the Word is going to be involved. Okay? Okay. Then he said to lead you in it as well. Now, I'll just go ahead and read this other paragraph before I get into the other part. See, people have hear me teach on confession, and for those that are listening by tape, that maybe the only way you understand confession is like when a person comes and confesses their sins. That is the first confession. You come before the Lord, I'm a sinner. I confess. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus, forgive me and save me. Okay, that's your first confession, all right? But the kind of confession we're talking about is when you start walking with Elohim and you find out what His Word says. And it may be okay, for example, His Word may say, by His stripes you were healed, and yet you've got sickness symptoms in your body. What are you going to do now? We just read, Father, Thy Word is truth. And here it says, by His stripes you were healed. But yet your body, all the symptoms in it, is sure saying that you're not. Now, if you're going to walk with Elohim, number one, your mouth is going to have to agree with Elohim. And if He says, by the stripes of Jesus you were healed, then you need to start saying, well, regardless of my body, I have a higher truth than that. Thy Word is truth, Father. So I just worship You, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus, if I was healed, I am healed. Achoo. Hack, wheeze, sweating, fever. But I worship You, Lord. I worship You, Lord. Sue. We're going to take a little intermission now. Okay. After our short intermission. We were talking about confession. There's some that hear this tape that's never heard the concept before. When we say confession, after you're born again, what we're talking about is when you start putting your mouth in agreement on purpose with what Elohim says, what the Word of God says. And using the example again, if you had symptoms all in your body. Well, for example, Tammy's got a cast or a semi-cast on her leg, and it's because of the knee, right?
Right.
Let me hear your agreement with Elohim concerning your knee.
It's healed.
By his stripes.
Right.
Do you call your knee normal, right?
Yes.
Show these folks. Do I call my knee?
I call my knee normal.
Is it healed?
Yes.
By whose stripes?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Now, but Sister Tammy, I see that you have this contraption on your leg. It sure don't look like your knee is healed.
I don't care what it looks like.
Hello? You mean you're agreeing with Elohim? You're going to say what God says no matter what? Now, that's how you do it. See, and that's called confession. And do y'all know that Jesus is the apostle and high priest of your confession? In the King James, it says profession, but the actual word is the one that's always translated confession. Jesus is waiting in heaven, hoping to God that Tony's confession today agrees with Elohim.
It does.
Because he's the high priest. What does a high priest do? He represents the people to God. And as soon as he gets some confession, some word from Tony that agrees with Elohim, he says, that's what I've been waiting on. He puts all those words in a basket. I mean, you know, metaphor here. You know, like puts them in a basket and he takes them before Jehovah, the Most High God, and he says, I would like to present you with something from Tony, your son Tony. And God gets this big smile on his face and all these raises come Tony's way. Because Tony's down there confessing, my God supplies all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And God the Father goes, right on, Tony. You go, Tony. Hallelujah. You know? Hallelujah. That's confession. Well, I don't know that God actually says, you go, Tony. I'm trying to make a point here. Give me some slack. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Got to have some fun. Hallelujah. The Word of God is the truth. Oh, we're on confession. Real confession of God's Word nearly always leads to times of worship as the light of God's goodness and grace to you begins to dawn on your inner man. Now, you might underline leads to, because it doesn't start out this way. I'm telling you it doesn't. The flesh, if y'all heard me teach on war with Amalek the other night, I'm telling you right now, when you start trying to, on purpose, when you've never done it before, start trying to speak God's Word right in the face of contrary circumstances, your flesh is going to rise up real quick and say, this is stupid. You are a liar. Feel the pain. Look at your checkbook. You know, I mean, it's going to resist you. It's going to think of 10,000 things you need to be doing. You need to wash the car. You need to vacuum the house. You need to do the laundry. Anything's better than this, you know. You'd be better off to go witness. Pass out tracts, anything. Don't do this. Because it knows if you keep doing this, the flesh is eventually going to die. What I mean by that, it's going to lose its control over you. The flesh always wants you to believe what you see. The way of the world is, the flesh's motto is, tell it like it is. Isn't that right? Call it just like you see it. Tell it like it is. What does the Word say? Call those things that be not as though they were. Hallelujah. Abram had no children. He had nothing but a promise from God. God come and said, change your name. I'm changing your name to Abraham, the father of a multitude. So right in the face of him being about 100 years old, Sarah being that old, past menopause, and had been barren before she, you know, when she was a young woman, anyway. And still God says, no, call those things that be not as though they were. Every time you say your name, you will be saying, I am the father of many nations. I am the father of many nations. And don't you know people had to think, the old man finally lost it, you know. Just went off the deep end there, you know. We know he didn't have any kids. He knew he didn't have any kids. But he agreed with Elohim. Abraham was walking with God. God says, you are the father of many nations, and Abraham, every time he said his name, I am the father of many nations. Tammy, her friends, her everybody may look at that and say, your knee is not healed. Your knee, feel the pain.
She said, yes, it is.
I know. Yeah, John is with you. But it'll be going, feel the pain. Well, look at that. We can all see, well, you're not healed, obviously. And Tammy goes, I'm not going to fight with you. I'm not going to argue with you. All I'm telling you is...
Don't make me whoop you now
on one leg, you know. But I'm telling you, I know what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from. Okay, I know you can see that thing on my leg, but let me tell you... Excuse me. Let me tell you something. I am agreeing with Elohim. Did you know I walk with God, by the way? And how I walk with Him is I agree with Him. I agree with Elohim. So I am saying, by His stripes I was healed, regardless of what you see. Now that's walking with Elohim. That's confession. Glory to God. Now, real confession of God's Word, once if you persist past Amalek, if you persist past the flesh, nearly always leads to times of worship as the light of God's goodness and grace to you begins to dawn on your inner man. You normally start off simply by honoring Elohim, by choosing to speak His Word as being absolute truth. And in the beginning, it may seem very dry and emotionless. Your first step in walking with God is to agree with God by declaring His Word to be truth in your life. But as you continue to do it, and the revelation of His goodness towards you begins to become real on the inside of you, from your heart, from your spirit, periods of true worship just naturally begin to flow from your spirit to His. The only action with this lesson tonight is to, you might take this tape and then follow along with the portion I'm fixing to do here. Hallelujah. Now, last week I gave out some scriptures, and I call these faith seeds. You don't really need a copy of them tonight. If you have last week's lesson with you, they're on there. And I'm going to show you exactly what I did. Charles was asking me tonight, because God's kind of calling him to do a similar thing to what I'm doing. And he asked me, what was the biggest problem? You know, what was the biggest thing you had to get past? And I said, well, the finances. God had told us to do this, and because I was having a hard time doing what I'm preaching to you guys tonight, God had a hard time getting me to actually do this. My flesh didn't want to do it. Just walk the floor and confess the Word and worship God for His truth, see? And the devil would have loved to starve this out financially. We come awful close. I was telling him, I said, hey, we got 3 months behind on the rent, almost 4 months. We were 3 months behind on the car. They're calling. You know, they're talking about repossessing the car. We're behind on payments everywhere, you know. And I knew I was doing exactly what God called me to do. Sue was volunteering to go to work. She says, I'll help. You know, I can go get a job. And I told her, I said, no. If you get a job, I'm getting a job, and this deal's over. I said, I don't know much, but I know God did not call my wife to go support me while I stay home and pray. I know better than that. That's not God. Now, I said, God's going to support us. This is going to work. He either called us or He didn't. And this is going to work. Or this is over, and we're both, you know, I'll go get a job. You don't have to get one. You can work if you want to. I don't tell her, you know, what to do. But you see what I mean? I know it's not God for my wife to go support me while I stay home and pray. Now, that's Flakeville, you know. Huh? Well, yeah. This was a long time before Dave was teaching so strong on it. Just something in my gut said, that's not right. Now, God didn't call the husband to be supported by the wife when I'm able-bodied now. Forget it. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to, first of all, just do this. This is how you start with prosperity. Okay? Now, I'm going to show you what I've got here. I can give you one of these before you all leave. Last week, we gave out seed. All I've got is like three scriptures concerning prosperity, three scriptures declaring health, three or four scriptures declaring whatever that says, peace of mind. Okay? And say, now, in our case, the biggest problem we had right at the moment was the money. Okay? And what God told me to do, and again, don't just imitate me. Whatever God says to you, you need to do that. Now, He told me to do this 4 hours a day. Why? Because I was that messed up. I was raised with a lot of poverty doctrine. Men of God were supposed to be humble and poor. In fact, we used to have a saying about the preacher, the pastor. Lord, you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. I mean, it's a common thing, you know. You know. Now it was said like a joke all the time, but it was only half joking. All right? Hallelujah. Now here's what God wanted me to do, and I'm going to start it off trying to make it for you guys about like it really was. My flesh did not want to do this, I'm telling you. But we're facing bankruptcy. It's either obey God finally and do this, or I'm going to be back out in the world and the ministry's over. We're at that point. Because, I mean, financial bankruptcy is imminent. All right, now, here's how it started. These were the three verses that hit me. There's lots of verses you could choose from. I recommend not more than three or four. The Bible says, by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So whatever area it is that you need to be transformed in, get you two, three, four of them. That's enough. Start rolling those through you by saying them, just like this. Now, I'm going to do it first, but pay attention, because I'm going to. God, the second thing God said is to have you all do it. Okay? Pay attention.
Yeah, I like the background.
And I want you to see how. Now, when I first, the first day, it went something like this. And you have this tape. The whole point is to have this tape so you can play this at home if you're having trouble doing this, and just follow along in the privacy of your own home where you won't feel embarrassed and all of that. I'm so far out there now, I could care less about being embarrassed. You know, I mean, you know, who cares? And then here's what I do. I go, you got to remember, the credit, I know when I get home. I was doing this at a rent house I was renovating, and I knew when I got home that day, there would be two or three calls from the bank waiting on me, wanting to know where the payment was for the car. The credit card companies would have called, and I need to call them. And I know I'm going to have to tell them this stuff. Okay? I mean, it's bad. It's really bad. And so here I am going, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is 2 Corinthians 8:9 for benefit of the tape. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And I want you to know right there, a voice loud inside of me said, yeah, right. Who are you going to have to call when you get home? You know what's waiting on you when you get home. Yeah, you're rich, all right. Uh-huh. The great, you know, I mean, it was just that kind of a thing. That kind of a, you know, strong. Well, I just went on to the next one, you know. I said, well, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. This is Psalms 34:10. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And I'm telling you right there. Something on the inside of me said, you lack about everything. Number one, you lack about 3 months house payments, 3 months car payments, you know, credit card bills, and you don't even know where you're going to buy groceries tomorrow. You don't have $10. You know? But it says, they that seek not, but see, I mean, and this is about as weak as it was to me, too. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now, do you think, because I'm reading that at that point, do y'all think that's in my heart in abundance?
No.
Dear God, no. And then I'd go, well, okay, let's try this next one. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, what do y'all think I heard right there?
Bull.
Bull. Like when? You know? Yeah, supply all your needs. You can't even pay your car payment. Okay? Now, right about there is where you'll quit. Most people. I did. I tried to do this for months. And it took... Sometimes I would make it one little pass through. And it just... Man, the circumstances. I knew what was facing me. You know? And it just... It would overwhelm me and I couldn't go on. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Make another run at it the next day. It had to get so bad that... I mean, bankruptcy is pretty bad. Bankruptcy is pretty bad. I didn't want to do it. I wasn't mom and daddy did not raise me not to pay my bills. They raised me. Bless God, you know, it's a man of your word. You borrow the money, you pay it. And it was already killing me. It was eating me alive, the whole fact that we were behind, you know.
Wow.
So finally, I just go back through it again. Now these are the three verses. Just these three. This is it. You go back through it again. And I'm trying to tell you really how it was. I'm not trying to hold nothing back. Because I'm telling you right now, your flesh is going to resist you. So anyway, there's nothing to do but just start over. See, everyone say with me, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Every time I was saying this, if you could picture it. See, do y'all understand God already believes all this stuff? That's what you have to understand. God believes He is your provider. Do you know that? God in heaven is sitting there looking around. There's no other gods. I mean, He knows the truth. I don't care how many gods people are worshiping down here. He's looking around heaven. In Isaiah, He plainly tells you, nope, there's no other God but me. You're wasting your time. They're not up here, I'm telling you. I'm looking. They're not up here. Quit that. And He's looking around going, I am their provider. Now see, that's the whole point. Faith really He has given to us in word form, seed form, what he believes. But he believes these three verses. God himself believes all three of these. So every time I'm saying them, it's like if you picture like a little bucket, I've got a reservoir on the inside of me that needs to be filled up with faith. Okay? God's faith. I need to believe what God believes. And every time I say this, every time I say this verse, it's like there's a bucket, a measure of his faith going, dump. It's just pouring right into my spirit. It's like filling up my reservoir. So I'll say it again. Because God believes this. God believes that the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that I through his poverty might be rich. God believes that. Jesus believes that. I read it again. For the you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Still wasn't in my mind in abundance, you know. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want, lack any good thing. Now, do you think those voices have quit?
No.
No. They're still screaming. But at this point, there's something in me going, bankruptcy, bankruptcy, imminent. So that's the only thing keeping me going. I'll just tell you the truth. That was it. But my God shall supply all of your... No, at this point still. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, and the devil just screaming in my ear like heck. Sure he does. Why do you serve him anyway? Look where it's got you. 3 months, you never were like that when you was out in the world. We always had lots of money when Sue and I were in the world. We never had a problem with money, you know. We had matching Cadillac cars. I had a dark blue, brand new ones. I had a dark blue one. She had a light blue one, you know. I used to have all my suits custom made, my shirts custom made. You know, we lived in the world, you know, make money. Money wasn't a problem. And the devil just screaming at me. He says, you remember those days? Now you're serving God, and look what it's getting you. 3 months behind on your payments. Can't even make... You've brought reproach on your father's name now. Talking about my earthly father. You know, he'd be ashamed of you. He would have been. The devil was right on that. He would have been. That's the way I felt. I said, dear God, if my daddy finds out about this, you know, he'd be ashamed of me. And he would have been in the natural. See? All right. Nothing to do but keep going back. Keep going back. Keep going back. Now, it did not change the first four-hour day. It did not change the second four-hour day. It was probably just as hard the first week of those four-hour-a-day things. Sometime during the second week, I started getting little glimpses. Little glimpses. For example, that first one, it started to dawn on me. For you know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see, this is all grace. He did this, and I didn't deserve it. So that means he did it just because he wanted to. And he didn't have to. He already had it made in heaven. Let's see. Up there they got diamond doorknobs, jasper walls, streets of gold. So he had it made. Let's see. It says here that though he was rich, yeah, I got that, yet for my sake he became poor. Now, whatever he did here, he did it for me. Now, why did he do it? That I, through his poverty, might be rich. Another verse that started coming to my mind, that he was made a curse for me. He bore the curse. And I remembered, well, poverty's under the curse, man. He did that specifically to bear the curse so maybe I could have access to his wealth. You know, my mind started thinking along those lines. And that still wasn't in me in abundance. I'm still, faith is just coming. Faith, this is called meditation. And I'd go to those other verses, the young lions. Now, why did he say young lions? I said this last week, you know. Why young lions? Well, the king of the beast. Who's the most ferocious beast of the field? Well, it's the lion. And he's not, what did I say last week? We're not talking about some toothless geezer lion here, you know, that couldn't catch a rabbit anyway. No, he's saying a lion, the most fierce beast that there is, the strongest, the most fierce. How many of y'all would like to come up, you know, when it's lunchtime, just you and the lion, a young one, in his prime? No. Thank you, no. I don't want to do that. But he's drawing a comparison. He's saying, in their own strength, with all the skill that I've given them, doing the best they can, and they're the best of the best, the lions are, still, sometimes, they'll go hungry because they don't have everything they need. But those that seek the Lord shall not want, and that means lack, any good thing. Now, still, my circumstances have not changed. They've gotten worse. The bill collectors are madder at this point, the second week, than they were the first week. they're making more serious threats the second week than they were making the first week. And I'm telling you right now, if you're ever in this, they don't want to hear on the phone. They don't want to hear from you, but my God shall supply all our money. Forget that. They want to know when the money is coming. Are you coming today to pay the bill? Are you coming tomorrow to pay the bill? And what time will you be here? That's what they want to know. And they don't want to hear my God shall supply all my need either. Okay? Well, I kept on. Now, here's the point, because tonight is worship. It got to the point, I just kept doing that, and I kept doing that. And now here's the part I want to demonstrate, because eventually, I didn't live here anymore. I want to explain what I mean. Those verses started going off into me to the point I didn't live in lack anymore. Even though my circumstances were exactly the same and even worse than when I started, I didn't really live here. I wasn't inside behind anymore. And my confession time had really now become worship time, which it always does when you're starting to get it in your heart, really. Now I'm starting to worship God in spirit and in truth. It's coming from my heart now. Before that, I was just putting His Word into me. But now, it's starting to come out of me, back to Him. And it's coming out in spirit. And it was something like this. I'm just going to imitate it for you. I mean, it got to the point, oh, Lord, I thank You so much for the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, thank You, Lord, that He loved me enough to come. He didn't have to do it. Oh, God, He had it made in heaven. Lord Jesus, You didn't have to do that. You only did it because You loved me, Lord. But You came on purpose. I deserve the curse. I know I deserve the curse. But You came on purpose. You bore that curse of poverty for me. You let them take away everything from you on that cross. They even took your clothes. You didn't have anything, and You did it all because You loved me, for the express reason that I, because of that act, I could be rich with Your wealth. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father, for doing that for me. I do know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though You were rich, Lord, You became poor, that I, through Your poverty, might be rich. Oh, I am a rich man. Thank You, Lord. I don't care what it looks like. I'm a rich man because I have access to Your wealth. Oh, I thank You, Father, and I praise You. I worship You, Lord. Oh, I thank You for the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for my sake He became poor, that I, through His poverty, might be rich. And I started feeling rich. Now, I had to come home and call the same guys that I did two weeks before, okay? I still had to handle things in the natural. But on the inside, I was rich. Rich with His riches. How could I not have enough? But everything in the natural said I didn't. But on the inside, I did. I did. The young lions, it almost got to be funny to me. The young lions do hunger and suffer lack. But I seek the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, Father, as long as I seek You, I'll never be in lack the longest day I live. Lord, there is no such thing as lack at my house. And remember that voice that was giving me so much trouble? I wasn't hearing that voice nearly so strong now. I may have been hearing it some. I'll be honest with you, I don't know. But on the inside of me, now in the natural, I could have told you a lot of things that we lacked around here, okay? But I just, you know, I was there. Something had happened. I had been transported to a different place. I wasn't living at 6472 South 32nd West Avenue anymore on the inside. Suddenly I was in this kingdom of God, and I was really living there. And I couldn't conceive of being in lack. How could I be in lack as long as I seek the Lord? He loves me. He already sent Jesus to bear the poverty so that I could have access to everything the Father owns. Do y'all think He owns enough to provide for my needs? What do y'all think? Hallelujah. See, I started going off on the inside, but it was real. I didn't feel like we lacked anything anymore. Although in the natural, nothing had really changed. But it changed. Oh, Lord, I thank You and I praise You that I never lack any good thing, Lord. Long as I seek You, oh, the best time of my day is the time I spend with You. And I'm telling you, it was. You understand me? That 4 hours that was so hard for me in the beginning. See, because once that 4 hours was over, I had to come home and face the bill collectors now. Thank God, by the way, for a good wife. Sue stood by me during that whole time. I mean, she did not add more pressure to me than I was already under. Okay? She did ask me if I would do my confessions. That's what she's supposed to do. But she didn't ever browbeat me. She didn't ever say, "You flake, you worm, you slime, you didn't hear God, you know. You know, get out of."
A woman builds her house up, a foolish one flexes it down with her own hands.
For benefit of the tape, she said, "A wise woman builds her own house, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands." Sue was real careful. For the benefit of you wives, I'm telling you, she did good. She did not make me feel like a failure. She did not make me feel like a loser. She did not make me feel like I'd gone crazy. She supported me in every way. And I just want you to know, thank God for a godly wife, a helpmeet, a real one. But anyway, can y'all see the change? Now, what my flesh, Amalek, would not let me even do at first. I mean, the dread of it. God, 4 more hours of confessing the Word tomorrow turned out to be the best time of my day. Because why? I was walking with Elohim during those 4 hours. Man, it got to be where Elohim showed up. He and I didn't live here anymore. I didn't have any lack anymore. We had wealth. We had riches. We had abundance. Man, I'm just me and Elohim. Glory to God, walking around that little rent house over there, you know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You supply all of my need according to your riches and glory. Hey, when God starts supplying your need according to his riches and glory, he's got good stuff. You understand what I'm saying? Jasper walls. You like diamonds, don't you? Diamond doorknobs. He uses those for doorknobs. How big would that be? How many carats would that be? You know, can you imagine the ring he would give you? If he uses diamonds for doorknobs. Glory to God. Think about it. See? And my mind started going. And what originally was the worst part of my day was the best part of my day. And it really was. It really was. I was living there. It's like at the first of this year, I told him. Now, it just so happened when the January 1st came around this year, 1997, in the natural, I had symptoms in my body and we had $22 to our name. I told Tim that. I said, "Tim, I got symptoms in my body. My body hurts. I got $22 to my name, and I'm a rich man." And I was serious as a box of rocks, I'm telling you. I was a rich man. I said, "Tim, I am so wealthy. I am absolutely incredibly wealthy and healed, by the way." You know? You just learn not to live by sight, and you learn to live by faith. And this is how you do it. See, we've all tried to just jump there. We've all just tried to go, "Oh, I can't live like by what I see. I have to live by faith." And we've all tried to do one of those Star Trek hyperspace jumps, you know. And God never intended it that way. You read Mark chapter 4. He tells you how to grow these trees. He tells you how to do this. Plant the seed, he said. The Word is like a seed. And he says it's like growing a tree. You take the seed, which is what these verses are right here. Prosperity seed. Healing seed, peace of mind seed, salvation for your family seed. You find seed, what God thinks, and you start planting that in you. How do you do that? You walk the floor and don't let Amalek run you off. Mm-hmm. You know? Don't let him run you off. No. See? Amen? Yeah. Now, I also said to lead you in it. I don't know how else to do it. So, y'all just follow after me. Would that be all right? Mm-hmm. Well, it's my Bible study. It's all right, you know. You have your Bible study, we'll do what you say. Anyway. All right. Say, "For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake." I said, "For my sake." I said, "For my sake." "He became poor, that I, through his poverty, might be rich. For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that I through his poverty might be rich." Now we're going to shift a little bit. Now you would do that just like that for a long time. I mean, this takes some time. How many, y'all ever see a tree grow fast? How many of y'all ever saw a tree grow to full stature in a day? How about a week? You know, how about a month? I mean, Jesus purposely picked something that grows slow. But it grows mighty. It grows strong. Okay? The point is, when are you going to start growing your trees? Ah, when are you going to start? Don't be stupid as me and wait till you're facing bankruptcy. Start now. Now, we could continue that for 4 hours. Do y'all want me to, or you need to go home? Okay, we're not. That's the way you do it at first. It's just simply a matter of putting the word in your mouth. Word it like a confession. Like this says, Paul was writing to the Corinthians, so he said, for you know. But when I confess it, as me personally, I say, for I know. For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet here it says, for your sakes, but I'm confessing it now, so for my sake, he became poor. You see, that's all you do. And you just say it, and you just say it, and you just say it. That's called planting the seed, planting the seed. Every time you do that, faith is coming. What God believes is coming into you. Now, I want to lead you in the worship part. This part will come naturally. When the day star, the revelation of this, starts rising in your heart, you won't be able to keep from it. But I want to lead you in a little bit of it just so you'll have a little taste with your own mouth of what it's like. It'll come something like this. Again, just repeat after me. Oh, Father, I thank you that you love me enough to send Jesus Christ to give me grace. Lord, I thank you that though he was rich, yet for my sake, because he loved me, he was willing to become poor. He bore my poverty so that I, through his poverty, might be rich. Father, I'd say with my mouth, I am rich. In the same way that I don't count his blood an unholy thing, but I count it precious to get me saved. In the same way, I don't count his poverty as a small thing. I depend on that to provide my wealth. Oh, Father, I thank you. I worship you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Your word is truth. I believe what you believe. I walk with you, Father. Lord, every day, I agree with you. I want to walk with you. I walk humbly with you, God. Oh, I love you. Thank you. Your word is truth. Hallelujah. Now, I know right then I'm just leading you in it. I'm telling you it will come out so naturally you won't be able to keep from it. That's one way you can tell when this starts working. Plus, you just won't live in your problem anymore. All healing and all deliverance of every kind always begins in the spirit. You get healed in your spirit, man. You get the revelation of healing in your spirit before you get it in the flesh. Unless it's by the gifts. Now, God can move by the gifts directly on the flesh. But normally, healing that comes through the Word comes through your spirit as the truth dawns on your spirit. I got rich on the inside before I got, before we got healed on the outside financially. We are rich in Jesus' name. We were pregnant with it. We were absolutely pregnant with it. Y'all have heard that example used before. It really was. It was just a matter of time till it's born where everyone could see it. I already had it on the inside. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, since we say again, Tammy loves me so much. She said, well, I used to. But, oh, she's a strong woman. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, for example, in Tammy's case, right now she's got this thing on, with her knee. So we'll just all do this. If I was there, if my problem had been that instead of the money, see, I would have been attacking that. And you do it the same way. You get you about three verses, and we'll just start here and say, 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I was healed. Matthew 8:17 says, it's fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Jesus himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. That would be an infirmity. He already took it, so I don't have to have it. Who forgives? Oh, God, my God is the God who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all my diseases. Oh, I just thank you, God. I'm walking with you, Elohim. You heal all my diseases. Jesus took all of my infirmities, and I don't have to have them anymore. I call my leg normal. In Jesus' name, by his stripes, I was healed. And you just keep doing that. And maybe she's... Now, I always say walk the floor and confess the word. And the only reason I do that is so I don't fall asleep. Coma devils. You know? Coma devils. You know? And if you don't believe it, just try getting nice and comfortable and sitting in a real nice chair and start confessing the word. I'll give you 10 minutes. If you last 10 minutes before you're asleep, you know? So that's why I walk the word... Well, that's better than the other word I said. That's why I walk the floor and confess the word so I don't fall asleep. So now, in Tammy's condition, and for y'all that can't see her, you know, she's got this brace on her leg, so right now they've been teasing her, calling her Chester, you know. Well, it doesn't matter. You walk the floor, you know, like Chester here, and you go, by his stripes, I am agreeing with Elohim, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. I call my leg normal in Jesus' name. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pain. She's dragging her leg behind her, you know. Bore my sickness. And about that time, you get a sharp pain, you know. Yo! You know, all of a sudden, by his stripes I was healed. Hallelujah. I'm walking with Elohim. Father, thy word is truth. I am worshiping you. I am declaring your word is truth over my knee. I call my knee normal in Jesus' name. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. And besides that, you are the God who heals all my diseases. Glory to God. And you just keep doing it, and just keep doing it through the pain, through the discouragement, through what anybody else says about it. And pretty soon, that same day star, suddenly, while she's walking like this with one leg behind, on the inside, she won't be first. On the inside first, she won't be. By his stripes, I am healed. He did bear my sicknesses and carry my pains, and I don't have to have them. Now, she'll still be dragging her leg at that moment, but it's going to start dawning on her heart. And she's going to go, I really am healed. Father. And now the worship starts in spirit and truth. I thank you, Lord. I am healed. I really am. Jesus really did take my sicknesses. You know, she's still dragging her leg behind her. It won't be long. Won't be long. Suddenly, she'll be going, why am I wearing this thing for? Take it off, and she'll be normal. You know, it'll manifest. The Holy Spirit always enforces the Word. That's what He does. He is the Spirit of truth. Everyone say after me, the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Spirit
is the Spirit
of truth.
The Father's Word, is truth. The Holy Spirit,
manifests
that truth
for
everybody who receives it as truth.
There are no exceptions.
He is no respecter of persons.
What he does for one,
he'll do for the other.
I'm the other.
Hallelujah. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He is the Spirit of truth. Now, what is truth? Jesus gave us. What is it?
The Word
is the truth. And now we've got the Spirit of truth. And he's listening to all your words. And when the Word of God comes with faith, he manifests that. That's all. So suddenly, Tammy won't know why. She won't know exactly when, you know, how long she's been confessing this. Maybe a week, maybe longer. But all of a sudden, she'll take one of those steps. And in that one step, the Holy Spirit just goes into that knee and manifests the truth that she's been saying. And suddenly, the knee's normal. One instant, it wasn't. Next instant, it is. Hallelujah. So it reminds you of Paul. We talked about this a few weeks ago at Lystra. He preached the gospel, and there was a man there born impotent in his feet from his mother's womb. We're talking birth defect. The man had never walked, born crippled from birth. Heard Paul preach the gospel. I think Paul sounded like Norval. Jesus heals all birth defects. Probably shocked the guy. Really? Yeah. Where do I go find him? He's here. Where? I don't see him. Paul says, he came inside of me. Christ in me. My hope of glory. For me to live is Christ, Paul says. Oh, I can be healed right now? Yes. And then it says, Paul perceived that the man had faith to be healed. And he says, stand upright on your feet. And the guy acted on it. And the Holy Spirit, boom, he did. He manifested the truth that Paul spoke and that man believed. He'll manifest the truth that you speak the moment you believe it. Y'all missed that part. You didn't get that. He'll manifest the truth that you speak. See, y'all need to become your own preacher. You need to become your own preacher. That poor man at Lystra, he didn't have a Bible. He didn't have the advantage you have. He couldn't go home and find these healing verses for himself and walk the floor and preach to his own body. You can. You can preach to your finances. Kevin, when's the last time you preached to your checkbook? How about preach to your wallet? I call you full in Jesus' name.
Come on, Kevin. We
want to know. Kevin says, it's been a while, I think. Hallelujah. Call it full. What did Jesus say? Those that seek, or what does the word say? Those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So you could say wallet. Everyone say this. Wallet.
Wallet.
Purse.
Purse.
You are full.
Of all good things.
There's no such thing as lack
in my finances
because I seek the Lord.
I
don't care what it looks like.
The truth is,
as long as I seek the Lord, all my wallets,
all my checkbooks,
everywhere I got money,
they're all full.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Preach to your wallet, man. Preach to it. Go preach to your car. Oh, yeah, you can go preach a good message to your car. I like the way Jesus asked Norval one time. He says, Norval, did you ever hear anyone having a conversation with the flu? Norval went, no, I can't say that I've ever heard anybody having a conversation with the flu. He said, well, I did. And reminded him of Peter's mother who had the fever. Jesus said he walked in and he rebuked the fever. Talk to a fever? Yeah, talk to it. And in the Greek, you know what he says? He says, Jesus rebuked the fever. And in the Greek, it actually says, and the fever ran off. Like it had a consciousness of its own. Wow, I'm out of here. And the fever left. How about that? That just gets me. I don't know. There's something about that. I can understand these. You know, it doesn't say it was a spirit. It doesn't say it. It says the fever left. Everything hearkens to the voice of His Word. And you know why that is? That's real simple. It goes back to just Genesis 1:1. God said, first chapter of Genesis, everything that is was made from His Word. It still responds to His Word. Hallelujah. Everyone say, that's good preaching, Brother Gary.
Good preaching, Brother Gary.
Hallelujah. 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 Worshiping God in spirit and truth. I wish there was some way. After you've been doing this for a while, a couple of years, and you just keep seeing it work, and you keep seeing it work, and you keep seeing it work, and I'm not saying that we don't ever have opportunities. Still yet, there's times, you know, when suddenly, I mean, it'll go along pretty smooth for a while, and all of a sudden, you know, there's a storm attacking the boat. You just keep doing the same thing. And it just keeps working. And after you've done it for a while, see, now I look back on those first months when God was so trying to get me to do this, you know. And I would to God, I'd be honest, you haven't heard that tape, 10 months. Took God 10 months to get me to do that, to do what I'm preaching tonight. 10 months. It's taken 10. Oh, I won't go ahead. Took 10 months. 10 months. And I look back on it now, and I would to God I would have just persevered that first week. Could have saved a lot of pain. But now that we've seen it work and seen it work and seen it work, only thing in my heart now, you know, is just some way I'd like to just, you know, take something, you know, the revelation of it, and I like to intravenously put it in Tony. You know, just get it, Tony. Do it, man. You know, it'll work every time. There's no exceptions. It always works. It's foolproof. It's the Word, you know. See? And if I could just intravenously put it in you, I would, but I can't, you know. So faith comes, but you know, through the foolishness of preaching, Paul said. So that, what else can we do, see? But I so encourage you to actually do this. It's the most important thing in your life. One week I gave a definition on insanity. I heard it from Fred Price, but I love this. He says, let me give you the... And I am going to close. Now, I really am.
Yeah, right.
Usually around here, you know, When I say now in closing, that doesn't mean anything at all. Forget it. Here's the definition of insanity. That's when a person continues doing the same things they've been doing, but expects different results. That is insane. Pastor Dave says it just a little different. He says the same thing. He says, if you're expecting to go somewhere that you've never been, isn't it reasonable to expect you're going to have to do something you've never done? And I keep talking about scheduling some time on purpose. Because I'm telling you now, if you keep doing what you've been doing, which is, I will start those confessions someday. You're not going to either.
Yeah.
No, you're not changing anything, and there's no point in expecting any different results. The devil is not dead. He'll make sure you're too busy tomorrow to get around to it too. You yourself are going to have to make the decision and schedule the time and let nothing interfere with that. See, that's the thing you have to change. That's the thing, y'all. It's not the confession. It's the decision for the time. Y'all have heard me preach this how many times?
Yeah.
It's the decision to set aside the time. That's what has to change. Do it this time. Until you do that, this is all useless. You'd have been better off to stay. What's on Thursday nights on TV? Huh? Friends. You'd been better off to stay home and watch Friends or something, or been just as well off if you don't schedule the time. I know tomorrow what time I'm going to be doing this. Do you? That's what I'm asking you. Do you? You don't have to answer.
Yes.
Okay, we've got one. Hallelujah. But I know what time I'm going to start, what time I'm going to end. See? And what I'm asking is, do you? Because until you do, if you don't change that, there's no point expecting different results. You're going to be too busy next week. And it may be another month before I come back around to this particular lesson again. Okay. Hallelujah. I feel a release in my spirit, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord really loves y'all. God has lots of blessings. You can have all of them that you want. And He's not withholding any good thing from you. It's already there. This tonight is how you go in and get it. Grow you some trees. I want to see Tony growing a prosperity tree that has brand new vans hanging all over it. So he has plenty for himself and abundance to give away to other folks. Hallelujah. I said the other night, and I still like it, God's already got plenty of humble poor folks. He's trying to find some humble rich folks that He can trust with the money that'll do with it what He says. He's got plenty of humble poor. Don't apply for that job. It's filled. He's got plenty of humble poor folks already. He's looking for some humble rich folks that will do this, because the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. Hallelujah. You are dismissed, honestly, this time, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.